Bienvenue to the Two Chance Podcast, a show dedicated to the belief that you can never have too many bikes in the garage and it's always a good day for a ride. And now, here are the Two Chance.
Welcoming back to the podcast, a friend of the podcast, and even though you are actually a stone's throw neighbor to me, we're doing this remotely out of an abundance of caution for keeping you from getting sick. Welcome to the podcast, Carson Beckett.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, glad to have you back. So I wanted to circle back with you on just how your season is going in particular. And we've talked about this event on the podcast before. Your experience at the Pisgah stage race, because you won 4 out of 5 of the stages. However, the big but is you didn't win the first stage and you lost a lot of time. What happened?
Yeah, bit of a bummer. The first day was the shortest and the easiest as far as terrain and difficulty and everything. And we headed out of town just up over Bracken Mountain. So some flow trail and then descended a little gravel. It was a pretty straightforward day. I was super eager and excited to kick the week off. We had a good crew, but yeah, descending just really just pedaling along like an easy gravel road. I had a puncture and no idea what did it, but it put a hole probably the size of my thumb as far as circumference, like straight through the top of my tread. And then it was just like, oh, you know, kind of in shock, like, oh, okay. And then you're fumbling with your tube and you're fixing it and all that. But yeah, all in all, I ended up about 15 minutes down on the first day. So I had to sort of shift my perspective and shift what a successful week meant to me after that.
So you lose 15 minutes. Let's actually get to that moment. You're on, was it on like Horse Cove or something, or Joel Branch?
Joel Branch, yeah.
You're right. Joel Branch.
Section. Yeah, just we popped out there. We were about to chase down Tyler Clark. He'd kind of got a gap on the descent, and it was mm-hmm. me. There was Cypress Gorey, me, Kerry Warner, chasing Tyler, and we're pedaling along, and my tire just like erupted. So yeah, and a lot of it was user error as far as extra time lost fixing the tube and getting that in there, and I ended up flatting the tube because the hole was so big and I didn't boot the hole properly. So I rode in on a rim.
Oh wow.
Made it a hard week for myself.
So you didn't ride the rest of the stage on the rim, did you?
Pretty much. I had to run. Well, it was pretty straightforward. So we were going down a gravel, like whatever, another 10 minutes of gravel after that.
Okay.
Then just the bottom part of Sycamore, which kind of ran. So not a whole lot of damage to the wheel, really.
Okay. So yeah, there's that moment you're like, oh my gosh, there's a hole that's the size of my thumb in my casing. I can't just put a tube in here. There's some additional surgery that needs to take place.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've been racing for a total of 60 minutes.
Yeah. And I was like, it was also one of those like $35-$40 like special really light tubes.
Oh, the Tubulitos probably.
Yeah, Tubulito. And I had had it for like 2 years maybe, and not
right.
Had-
and it's.
And I was like, oh, whatever. Okay, finally I'll use it. So I like peel it out of the package. It's so tight. Put it mm-hmm. all in, and then when I flatted it because I didn't get that hole properly covered, I was so.
super nice light tube. That's what you always wonder. You've been carrying around the spare super light tube, and the moment comes 2 years after you like rolled it up so tightly yep. and neatly, and you're like, all right, I hope in 2 years nothing's happened to this.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I only race with it. Like I train with normal stuff, normal things. So, but yeah, after that, just, I was kind of shocked and was like, well, I'll just go for it on stage two and like, see what we can do. Wasn't really thinking about the rest of the week at that point. I was just thinking, you know, I want to get a stage win. And stage two, we rolled over to Squirrel Turkey Pin area, climbed out of that valley and did the hike a bike up Black. And that's where I went basically to break the group and just went as hard as I could between on and off the bike, like scrambling up Black, which, you know, is like, and it's a little wet and you're just like, basically hugging your bars to get traction. And so I went all out there and was able to get a gap and a stage win. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, we've got some momentum. Let's see what we can do. And Carrie was in the jersey at that point, and we'd kind of, Tyler Clark was only doing the first couple of days. So we knew, you know, we knew he would be out of the mix. And then we sort of, cracked Cypress a bit on that second day, and Carrie sort of, you know, all he had to do was defend all week. So not that I didn't make it hard on him trying to break him every single day basically, but yeah, I was able to, you know, slowly like eke some time back, and the silver lining was, yeah, getting the stage wins for the rest of the week. So I'm happy with that.
So what was that like? Obviously, Carrie's in control. You know, something would have to happen. Did you ride? I mean, was he sort of like glued to your wheel most of the time? And it's kind of like, all right, you know, we'll race this like normal. What was going on with that?
Yeah, he was pretty much glued to my wheel stages 2 through 5. Mm-hmm. I think he took the lead a little bit here and there, but I mean, the second day after I got, well, second day I got it right at the end, but then stage 3, I was a big day. A lot of vert, a lot of distance covered. And I was just trying to push it all day long to see what would happen. I was like, you know, if I blow up, that's fine, whatever. I'm 15 minutes down, but if he blows up or something happens, like we're back.
Right.
So,
or he gets a flat.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I made it super hard on him and I pushed it every climb, and he was glued to my wheel the third day, the fourth day up to, you know, the parkway, basically up to Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was kind of the fourth day was sort of my last chance. If anything was going to happen to get some time and maybe go back to the, or get back in the mix for the win. But, he held his bike in one piece and he was strong. So we had some good battles. And then the very last day going into the Enduro, he disappeared right at the top of the last downhill. And I was like, I have no idea what happened. And I hope he's okay, but
yeah.
Like, why don't push it now? Uh-huh. I think he just dropped his chain, but that was kind of a moment of like, oh, you know, I hope he's good, but maybe this is a chance. But it was cool. You know, it gave me perspective and a reason to kind of fight every day and get some stage wins. And the overall would have been nice, but it is what it is. And I had a blast that week, kind of no pressure really. So that was nice.
Yeah. How'd you end up on the Enduro? I would imagine maybe not at the top of it, but pretty close, I would guess.
Yeah, third. I think it was third overall.
Okay.
So
both the pedaling parts and the coasting parts.
Yeah.
The not using your brake parts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now I eked into third on the last day, so that was a bit of a surprise and I was excited. But the last day Enduro was long, you know. I will say that it was all of Bracken, and it had 2 or 3 minutes worth of climbing in it probably total too, so probably played to my favor a little more. But
yeah, because you hit that brushy part and and there's it turns into not so much a downhill and
yeah
more of a cross country thing.
Yeah. But man, I don't know. I'm happy with it. I've been waiting for a while to do it, and those guys were super fun to race with. We had really good weather, so can't complain otherwise.
So how funny, you know, you do all that stuff and you ride those trails all the time probably, and the thing that really foils you is the gravel road.
Yeah. Well, we had that talk, like you take these like $80 XC tires and you're like, you know, you can, it's amazing on both ends of the spectrum what they are capable, like what they are capable of, and also how easily they're compromised. Like it's $80 piece of rubber, $100 piece of rubber, and you can just, you know, fly through the trails on top of rocks and everything you can imagine for months, not an issue. But at the same, you know, on the other side of the coin, you can be going down a gravel road and a stick or something just happens to just get just right on the tire tread and you know, completely explodes your tire. So it's pretty interesting what the equipment can do, but also how easily it can be broken down.
Yeah. So I've got a question for you. Do you run, are you running any inserts?
Just started. I started testing them out the week before Pisgah Stage Race. Mm-hmm. I had some people recommend the XC Cush Core, and I was super impressed. I was going to just run one in the rear, and got to talking to some guys about how it affects your you know, suspension, and just me being on a smaller XC bike anyway. Man, I rode it and it was like so good, especially for here. You know, the hits are so harsh and so big, but you also, yeah, and it's like a week of that, you know, hours of that, but you also need, you know, you also need it to be supple enough to climb all this stuff when it's wet, and you need the surface area and the traction. So just running high pressure isn't going to help. And yeah, I was really impressed.
Yeah, that's cool. I was curious. So you were running, which Trekker did you run? Cause I think they're a Dirt Camp Devo sponsor.
The Super Cal.
Oh, so right.
I was on a little bike. Yeah, we couldn't get any like top fuels or anything really bigger this year, just with swap chain. And, so that was another reason I ran the Cush Core. It was like, it turned that bike into, you know, I had 10 more mil of suspension because it's only 100 in the front and 60 in the rear.
Yeah. That's a feat to, you know, to do that. I mean, there's all kinds of different equipment that you can use in Pisgah. I mean, you'll see everything from dude bras on like with full face helmets downhill to people doing it on, you know, 100 mil and, you know, 60 on the back. But you'll see some very fast people doing it with the setup, obviously, with the setup you had.
Yeah, it's not like, it may not be ideal, but it's definitely more about how you ride, riding style, picking the lines. I mean, me knowing the lines really helps.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you get fatigued. It's finding the soft spots in the dirt and just, yeah, it's really about how you ride. I mean, I've ridden a bunch of Pisgah on a hardtail before, and people are like, you know, what are you doing? Like, let me get in front of you on the downhill. And you're like,
you're good. Should just sit tight.
Yeah. So, you know, that played to my advantage as well. Just knowing the area, knowing the trails, and just trying to be as super light as possible. So
you have, that probably, you know, have being freed up from, you know, some of the thing, some, you know, once you get that flat and then you have four good days in a row, that was probably a really good block of training for you. If we're thinking about it, you know, because you went from that, what was your next event?
Yeah. So we finished on a Saturday, and then, I was due to start racing the next three rounds of the US Cup in Arkansas. I think I had like 2 days basically here. So we finished Saturday, had Sunday off to prepare. Monday, I flew to Arkansas. Monday evening, I flew. one day Tuesday to ride everything, and then we raced Wednesday. Well, they pushed it back. We had a bunch of storms come in, so they like sandwiched all of our events. It was supposed to be Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, XC.
Okay.
XC. And then we had storms on both ends that ended up like sandwiching everything. So we raced Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I had about 4 days to like.
So you had like a mini stage race.
Yeah, so exactly. So it was like, well, this will be a little tight. And then it turned into another mini stage race. So I had like a 5 day, and then I had 3 days or 4 days to get ready and to kind of shed some fatigue and get to know the course. And then three straight days of racing. And then, so then Sunday we went to Arizona, and I had 4 or 5 days to recover. And then we had did the Whiskey 50 Epic Rides, which was, you know, a fat tire crit in downtown. And then that next morning, the 50 mile backcountry race. So
how was that?
Super good. Unfortunately, it's the only event they're hosting this year. Just, I guess financially, they're not doing the other four or whatever it is.
Oh, wait, didn't they do, it's the same group that does the 24 hours in the old Pueblo.
Yeah.
Pueblo.
Yeah. So normally they do, Prescott, and then
right.
Prescott City, and then Grand Junction, one in Bentonville. Yeah, this year they're only doing the Arizona one, the Prescott one. So, but it's a ball. They do a really good job. A really, really good job at putting on a show and like putting on an experience too, not just, you know, a race. It's like it brings the whole city out. There's a concert. The downtown crit's really fun. It's a pro only event, and we're all on our mountain bikes with like fat slick tires on, just racing around in laps, and everybody's.
Oh, it's like an old school. It's like an old school mountain bike crit, not like short track.
So the only thing you can change between the crit Friday and the XC race Sunday or Saturday is tires. Legally or whatever, you can't change chain ring, like equipment, wheels, frame, like only tires. And the tires are really just a safety thing. So everybody's on like safe slicks instead of knobby tires. But yeah, it was a blast. It was a really good event. I definitely came away from that pretty fatigued and ready to just kind of ride and hang out a bit. And so that's what I've kind of been doing the last 2 weeks is kind of getting ready for the next block after that. But yeah, it gave me a new perspective, and the stage race here was really fun. You know, sleeping in your own bed, getting to drink your own coffee, make pancakes, drive back to your house at the end of the day, versus like being on the road. So
yeah. So have you done your experience in racing like a road crit? Have you done many road crits?
Not many. Like,
okay.
Yeah, maybe two.
What do you think of doing one on a mountain bike?
Well, what's funny is we still all race it really bad. Like, we're really bad road racers. We still race the fat tire crit like it's a short track.
So it's a mountain bike race.
Yeah, it's like we race as if the pavement was grass. It would be no different. we're not very good at like working together. And I mean, it is a little more roadish just because of the pace, but it's still just like, and especially that course was, it was a tiny loop with three or four turns and had one massive climb like up Main Street where everybody was cheering. So it was like you sprint for 45 seconds up this hill and then you come back around later. And like, you just kept doing that until it was whittled down. So
it sounds like a crit.
Yeah.
Although what's different is you're doing it. What do you run on the front? A 36 or 34?
Most of us run 36 or 34. So
pretty good. And then you have an 11 on the back. What do you have on the back? What's your biggest gear?
10 and then
a 10. Okay.
Yeah, so 36-10 was probably what everybody was.
A 36-10, like there is a maximum speed. You've heard of terminal velocity when you skydive. Yeah. There's a maximum speed with 3610, and in a crit, you know, on that kind of surface, that, well, did you witness that? Let me ask you this. Did you witness like people kind of reaching their maximum, like, you know, on flat bar?
Yeah, on the backside, when we would come off the downhill, what was funny is a lot of people were actually like using their droppers. So we've all got like 100 mil droppers on. And everyone would just drop them and sit on the seat and just get really tight. And we were flying through these. So it was a really funny sight.
That's pretty funny.
We were just, you know, like jostling.
Like, I'm gonna win Milan San Remo, you know, with my dropper.
Yeah, and we were on, you know, we were kind of cutting across some lanes too that had like a bit of some like texture to the pavement just from cars and stuff. So, you know, we're like skipping across lanes and stuff on our dropper posts, and people are like spinning out. But yeah, that's the trick. Because like, I know one guy ran a 38, which was way more ideal for the crit. Yeah, but
I could see that.
You know, the next morning we were climbing some steep stuff. So like, with your 38, when you may want a 34.
Right. Then you're like, whoa. Yeah.
That's kind of fun, like that.
Yeah. 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 That's kind of that's the interesting thing about that. Okay. So since I'm a nerd, what tire pressure do you run with Swix on a mountain bike that you have to race the next day?
Yeah. So I had the 40C, I had 40C tires on, max.
Okay.
If you or no Velocita, which is like a gravel tire, but I ran it in the 40s, and I think I ran like 36, 38 PSI.
Still okay.
Felt hard, but
I'm sure it
did. I could have gone, you know, a lot of people run around 40, but yeah, I mean, on like a 29 inch or a 29 millimeter rim with the 40s, it's like you're like pretty limited. So
yeah, it probably, I mean, for a 40 on a 29 or on a 29, and you're probably riding, what do you ride, like a 27? Are you because of course you ride Google wheels, are you on the 25s or what?
Been on the 27s. Well, a little bit of both, but I've been running the 27s for like, especially around here, to run like a 2.35 or like a bigger tire. And then if I'm just doing cross country stuff, like I'll probably run the 25s.
Yeah. So a 27 inch or 27 millimeter wide rim with 40s on it probably looks a little bit bigger than you might expect for, but still tiny by mountain bike standards.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So you are, we kind of sandwiched this interview in before you're leaving tomorrow. Are these all Dirt Camp Devo events that you're doing?
Yeah, the next, well, sort of. Some of them are like our team events. And I think we have maybe 7, 8, or 9 national level, like team events, we call them, which are like, you know, required race events type of thing. But so this weekend I'm racing in Wisconsin at the next round of the, it used to be called Pro XET, Pro Cross Country Tour. I think now it's just called the US Cup, but anyway, I'm going to that this weekend, so that'll be a team event. But then from there, I'm gonna go to Pennsylvania and do the Transylvania Epic. So kind of like
cool
race of Pisgah stage race.
Yeah,
Kerry will be there. It'll be fun. We're gonna have some stiff competition, and if all goes well, maybe, you know, I'll be able to beat up on Kerry again.
Cool. No flats this time.
Yeah,
no flats.
From what I hear, you know, I hear it's pretty burly there, just not as much like elevation gain. It's more flat, flowy, but really techy, so it should be fun.
Yeah. A frequenter on this podcast who has been credited for making people crash, or people who ride with him and then afterwards ride on their own, crash and hurt themselves. Josh I know he's done the Transylvania Epic. Or wait, is it called the Transylvania Epic? Yeah, Transylvania Epic. He's done that and said it is actually, you know, there are some similarities, lots of smooth rock, wet kind of. It sounds kind of like a cool event.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I would imagine you'll be pretty well prepared for it.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, my main focus short to midterm is still like World Cups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, it's such a short-lived thing. I want to see if I can make a run at kind of making that top three, like U.S. racer selection for World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you know, I saw this year as just like a growing opportunity, and I don't want to miss events just because they're not like my type. You know, they're not a cross country race. Like, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm sort of, I guess I call it like diversifying my racing portfolio a bit. So I'm doing, you know, I did Pisgah and then I'll do Transylvania Epic, two stage races. Before that, Wisconsin is a cross country race. I'll do some World Cups later in the summer. So, yeah, I just want to mix it up. I want to get some good experience and build some fitness along the way.
Yeah. What would be a success for Transylvania Epic? Like, how, you know, when you're going into it, what's your mindset and what kind of outcome would you feel good about?
Yeah. So in simple terms, like result wise, you know, I definitely want to be on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about four equally talented, you know, the kid that won BC bike race, Felix Burke, will be there. So that's another like 5-6 day stage race in British Columbia. So he's talented. Carrie's there. Caleb Swartz, another cross country kid, will be there. So it'll be stiff. You know, I think I can win. I don't mm-hmm. want to just like hold on to that though, as if that's my only like success of the week. You know, right. It's a lot more about the experience and just feeling like I want to come out of it basically like I came to every stage with some fight and had fun with it and was able to push every day. And but yeah, podium's a goal for sure.
Yeah, I mean, your efforts so far this year would lead me to believe that that's possible. So, but you also have to have a lot of things go right.
For sure.
You know, and I think on those multi-day stage races in such, I won't say extreme terrain because, you know, you got a flat on a gravel road, but you know, there's always going to be something that's going to come up that you have to deal with. Yeah. So, best of luck, Carson. And, you know, I think it's great what you're doing. And thanks for joining us again on this podcast.
I'll have to in a month's time come back on and recap what happened.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fight, like seeing that you know, knowing that you lost the time on that stage one of our local stage race, which is I think a cool event. And then the fight that you had to have the consistency day after day to do that and not just be like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, I'm just going to do whatever, you know, you were still using that as sort of like, okay, so that happened, out of my mind. Today's a new day. I'm going to go after it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's the goal. You know, every event comes to you, just, you're there, the work's done. You just got to try to like do what you can and not trying to prove it to anybody, you know, really. It's like, whether you're elite or just amateur and trying to complete the event, like, you know, you're there for yourself too. So see what you can do.
Yeah. I would imagine it's a case of, you know what you can do. It's a matter of executing to somewhere around that point, and hopefully you can exceed that.
Yeah. Yeah. And small goals along the way, you know, like a fueling strategy being your goal. Like, I stuck to my fueling plan. I ate every half hour. Like, I ate everything I was planning to eat. You know, that was a good day. I didn't bonk at the end, you know. Mm-hmm. You can break it down pretty small and just find success along the way.
And that's a, you know what, that's actually kind of hard, because
yeah,
what if you don't want to eat? You know, you could probably perform at that level on one of the days.
Yeah.
But if you did not eat the next day, yeah, and the day after that, you'd have the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be on every day with eating. That's the biggest thing. Is granted, these are five day races and not 3 week tours, but the biggest challenge is like eating when you don't want to eat, or eating more than you think you should. You're like, I don't need another gel. Like, whatever, we're about done. It's like,
yeah, right. Like, I don't want to ingest one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the, now it's kind of gross.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, we would go to the Pisgah, the ceremonies at the evening every night and have a little dinner. But I would eat, like, I would make a dinner to go as we're like driving down there, or like a like a pre-dinner, and make myself eat it, a bunch of rice and veggies and stuff, and then go down there and have their dinner. Cause like, yeah, you may be overeating, but like, you're constantly burning if you're doing 5 days of racing. And if you skimp on one day, 2 or 3 days later, you know, the legs probably won't be there. So
yeah. And stage three is a big day. Stage four is a big day. I mean, stage three is 6,000 plus feet of climbing. Some of the most technical stuff you'll ride. Stage four is 5,000 feet of climbing. It's also some technical stuff. And if you're flat by stage five, you're kind of done.
Yeah. And not, I mean, and even if you're not going for results, you're just like someone trying to complete it. You're going to make it a lot harder on yourself on days 3, 4, and 5. Still not eating. It's not just about, you know, winning the day. It's like, can you complete it? Do you feel good? You know, make sure you're eating. So
yeah, or you'll get to, so here's what happens in probably anything, whether it's mountain bike or even on the road bike. You'll make a mistake, you'll get a flat, or you'll crash because you made a mistake, and then you'll try to recover, and you'll probably make another mistake. Yeah. And then another mistake, or you're late on the entrance of a turn or on the brake, and you know, and then it's all this compounding thing, all starting because you're on the back foot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So, all right. Well, Carson, again, thanks for joining us. Best of luck, and we'll catch up later.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Want more of the follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/podcast, or send us an email talking about enjoy your ride.
Oh yeah.
Be safe, get a rip. And if you ride with us, please.